First turns his attention to the three sons of Noach that join him on the Teva, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. And it makes two very astounding comments on their introduction to us. Number one, Noach, we're told, is 500 years old when he gives birth to these three sons, which he notes is most likely highly unusual, that most of his contemporaries by this point probably had fathered large families. But Noach does not have children until he's 500, which is 100 years prior to the flood, which happens in his 600th year. And we know that he had 120 years of notice, which means 20 years after he was told the flood is going to happen, only then does he have children. Which at first comments, he assumes that Noach was so afraid to father a family, he did not trust himself in such an age, which we discussed last night, which was so decrepit, so morally corrupt, so filled with thievery. He didn't know how to raise a family in such an environment to be pure and holy souls in such an environment. And it was not until he was already almost 500 years old, when he knew the end was already coming, then finally he begins his family. What refers to the second comment is that we know very little about these three sons. We have one incident that the Torah tells us after they emerge from the flood, when Noach becomes drunk after he plants his vineyard. It was one incident that the Torah tells us. But this is the fatherhood of mankind. Noach, together with these three sons, are really going to create all of the human race, and we know so little about them, other than, says Rav Hirsch, their names. And as we see, he's very much into language and names, and their names reflect who they were, very different characteristics, each one. And Rav Hirsch points out, before him describing what their names reflect, but it would appear the fact that Hashem saved these three very different natures in spite of their differences, or he writes maybe specifically because of their differences, that they were all given a place on the Teva, is because of the significance and the value of having these different characteristics all giving birth to the new world. Shem means a name. Shem represents the intellectual ability to see something, decipher what it is, discern its distinction from this, from that, and name it. To be able to name something is to be able to understand what it is. A very famous example that's often used is the different numbers, or names I should say, for snow that exist in First Nation societies up in the north, near the North Pole, are far different than, say, the number of names for snow in, let's just say Atlanta, randomly choosing a city. You don't need so many different names for snow. It doesn't matter. It's snow. It is what it is. It's going to slow down traffic when you stay home. But when you need to know the exact, is it powdery? Is it wet? Is it heavy? Is it soft? It makes a difference. Skiers will be able to discern, to see it, name it, understand its characteristics, reflects an intellectual ability. Shem. Cham means heat. Something hot, which reflects passion, which reflects the seeing of something and wanting to throw yourself into it. We always describe passion and emotions as being hot. Cool down, we say. Calm yourself down, because you're too emotional. Cham represents not the intellect of shame. Cham is the passion of how we approach things. Yafet, of course, refers to a beauty, which is seeing not necessarily just with pure intellect and not with pure emotion, understanding the beauty of that which is in the world, being lost in the beauty which is in the world. And those are three very distinct approaches to life, and all three of those sons are given a place on the Teva. Rav Hirsch comments and says, this is a source of great hope and comfort to us, the fact that each one of these children was given a place on the Teva. In the perfect world, any one individual would reflect all three of this. His intellect is directed towards Hashem. His passion is directed towards Hashem. His understanding of beauty in the world is directed towards Hashem. That's in the perfect world. But why do I emphasize this, writes Rav Hirsch? So that when we see in the world all these different races, so many different nations, each nation has a different value, and they are pronounced national differences. This one is more of an intellectual kind of place. This one is more passionate. This one is more into beauty. It should not be regarded as degenerations, but that they were brought into the ark, into the Teva specifically, and not to disturb our conviction that all different races of men are created for the one lofty ideal of mankind. In due course, we're going to combine all these differences, because the world is Malaha Aretz Deyas Hashem. The world is all going to come to recognize Hashem with all of our differences, with all of the, this one focuses on this, this one focuses on that. They were all given a place, because there is a place for all of that under Hashem's dominion in the world. And sometimes in history, different nations, different individuals certainly, and even different nations will focus or highlight on different aspects, but they're all part of the divine plan eventually to come together, just like they once were in one Teva, to be in one world all together. Le'umalaha aretz deyas Hashem, the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem. That refers to the names of the fact that of each one of the three sons of Noach given a place in the Teva. He ties it into the Lios Tamim, to be a tzaddik, le'hisalach l'Hashem. Each one is a different thing, but we'll leave it for now with that.